Hello, dear listener. My name is Christian Corley. I'm with me on this podcast with a K is James McLean, and we are here to discuss. I feel like being really cheeky and flippant. We are here to chat about The Woman Who Fell to Earth, or as I call it, The Emperor's New Clothes. Where's he going with this? Well, let's find out. It's the new episode of Doctor Who, which is the first episode since Christmas, and first new series in months and months and months and months and months, and it stars Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor, and some initially surprising supporting cast, such as Bradley Walsh. And it's set in Sheffield, which is weird. And there's lots of new things about it. And obviously, it's written by Chris Chibnall, and it's the first episode of Chris Chibnall's stewardship of Doctor Who. I've said enough for the time being. There's been a lot of, I'll say a bit more, there's been a lot of excited positiveness. Although I'm not sure whether positiveness is the right word, if it's positive for something that isn't possibly as good as it has been infused to be. So whatever that word is, it's that, in my opinion. James, stop me talking. I mean, it's a new episode. It's a new Doctor episode. It's the first one of those since Deep Breath in 2015. So where are we with Doctor Who now after that?
Oh, where should we start? I'm going to start with the negatives, just because I think it's get them out of the way. I mean, I thought it was... Okay, no, I'll start with a positive lead line. I thought it was very good. There were negatives to it. I thought... well, negatives are subjective. I was surprised. I thought it was a very slow lead-in for a show which I kind of felt was trying to pick up a young demographic.
Mm.
Even though, actually, technically, when I rewatched some of it last night, it was like 8 minutes before Jodie appears, and it felt a lot longer than 8 minutes before she appeared.
Yeah.
And that I was kind of surprised of. I thought they were going to try and lead and sort of try and pick up perhaps younger, a little less patient minds with something a little more quick-paced. But at the same time, I thought that was quite nicely done. I thought it was quite intelligently done. It sort of harkened back a little more to the Russell T Davis years. The use of YouTube to open it up felt very Russell T Davis, sort of very playing in the contemporary. I thought a couple of the lines in the script didn't quite land, which I found that with Eccleston. It happened with McCoy. I don't know whether it's that's sort of trying to find the right fusion between actress and character. There's a couple of lines when she's doing the face-offs which it just felt like they were just little, they just weren't needed. I'd like to have seen edited out. There were just a couple of comments which just didn't quite hit it. But they were really the only negatives I've got on it. I mean, I thought it was a good story. I know some people said, oh, it's just Predator with bits of other things put in. It's like, well, yeah, Predator Morbius is, you know, Frankenstein. How far do we go down the fact of borrowing from different shows or genres? That's what Doctor Who does. I thought the teeth was quite a nice touch, but I think what really sold it for me was I thought the way they did the characters was very good. And I have a feeling, obviously we can't be sure, that maybe they'll be doing what we've been saying along with Brian for many years, and that's possibly trying to take them out of the jetpacking around the world comfort zone the show's got into. And it feels like at least one of the characters will feel like they've been forced out of their world by the end of this episode, which bodes well. I like the use of dyspraxia. I thought the use of cancer in there as well. I thought that made the characters feel a little more interesting, a little more human, a little more vulnerable, because we don't tend to have vulnerable companions anymore. They always have to be sort of like top of their league. But yeah, I thought that was good. I thought there's some really nice pieces in there, there's some really nice moments. I thought, and I'll give you time to talk in a second, I thought the music was very well handled as well, and it looked good, and it felt different. And I think, regardless of any of the areas where I didn't think it quite hit the mark, I think, generally speaking, it felt like a different show, and that's really what we've been after.
Hmm. Okay. Right. Where should I start? I'll probably start at the beginning, then. So, Bruce and I crashed down on the floor with some beanbags. and watched Doctor Who, and about a minute in, Bruce said to me, is this Doctor Who? I said, yeah, it's Doctor Who. About 5 minutes later, he says, when's Doctor Who on? So, there's that element of it. The cinematography is absolutely sumptuous, and it's beautiful. And the production values are higher than they've ever been. Pacing-wise, I think it's too slow. I know that the episode was longer than the rest of the series episode, so that might have something to do with it, but it just felt too slow and plodding to me for a lot of the time. I'm going to try and sort of counterpoint every negative with a positive. The evocation of Nighttime Sheffield was absolutely bang on. Absolutely felt it. Strangely, I didn't get the same with Daytime Sheffield. I don't know whether that's because it was straight after a funeral or what. It just didn't feel like Sheffield, given that so much of it was in the background. Sharon D. Clarke's Yorkshire accent was the worst crime committed to accents since Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins.
Oh, dear.
It's what? Beg my pardon. It was fucking awful. I have never heard such a bad Yorkshire accent. My dad's from Kent, and he moved up here in 1972. He can do a better Yorkshire accent than that. It was woeful. Absolutely codger. And oh, yeah. Also, they're supposed to be from Sheffield, and I didn't hear a single duck. Key aspect of the Sheffield dialect is the word duck. Didn't hear it once.
Okay.
My wife's family are from Sheffield, so extra points there for me. Companion-wise, Bradley Walsh was good. Tuzin Cole and Mandip Gill, well, I don't know. I wasn't feeling them as companions. I wasn't feeling them as interesting people, I suppose. I didn't buy the thing that they were at school together either. So I just wasn't... That wasn't hitting it for me, that point. There's wonderful soundtrack within the episode. I cannot abide the new theme tune, though. Those drums are killing me. I really don't know what's going on there. I can hear the rest of it. The synth sounds amazing, but the drums are killing it. The actual title, which is good and bad in two ways, is the actual graphics on the title, the closing sequence of the titles, you know, what I'm talking about, the vortex thing. Yeah. Reminded me of prenatal scans. The kind of pulsing of it.
I think it was meant to remind you of sort of a more Troughton-esque.
Yeah, I know. I was just seeing baby scans. Yeah. But whilst we're talking about the close, who cares about the guest actors?
That was odd. Yes, I found that very, very odd.
I'm waiting for someone to stick a "you have been watching" thing on there, and it was jarring. Like Sharon Clarke's accent, it was jarring. And why I mentioned that initially, and I've got away from that, I mean, because it took me out of the story so many times, her accent. It really was bad. So that's the problem for me.
That's going to be an ongoing.
Well, she's supposed to be recurring, but obviously she's dead. So whether or not she's back at the end or...
I don't know. But this is where it comes back to the... it comes back to whether this is new ground or not. Because I've got to the point now where I just feel that she's going to come back in some form or another, because that's how the show tends to have worked. So it'll be kind of interesting to know whether it does that.
Yeah.
That's what gets me, is will the show do what it's done before, or will it steer away? And I think in a sense, I can forgive some of the issues in the episode, and I don't disagree with a lot of what you said. I didn't realise the Sheffield accent, but I think it was a mistake not to have the title sequence. I know why they didn't, and I know they were wanting to use it obviously as a tease at the end, but I think for the show, for those who are not fans, I think it needed it. It needed that to, I mean, that's what the theme music and signpost, doesn't it? It tells people what to expect, it tells people what zone they're in. it almost prepares them for the journey they're going to take and the tone of it. And while I understand why they took it out, I think given, as you said, that the first 8 minutes are so devoid of anything really like the show has done for a while, it needs to be in there just to remind people to just hang on, this is the show, give it a moment. And I think that would have helped a great deal. I think also it would have helped because people are expectant of seeing exciting things. It would have given them something excitingly new straight away, and then they'd feel satisfied to sort of go with the show and let it sort of explore these new characters a little bit. So I think that's, it's a problem. I don't think it in itself is not a problem, but I think when you start to think of audiences, I think it might have been an error. That's like you said, especially I was saying with your son and how that sort of came across there. Mm. You know, is this Doctor Who? That is a... But I mean, yeah, there was a lot of good stuff in there. I mean, it felt lighter. As I said, I like the idea of this dynamic of four. I think that will work. I think when you've got a dynamic of four, which is what the show hasn't really done for a while, if you do have a weaker character, one that you're not feeling, then maybe that will sort of, that dilutes that because there's obviously less of them. And it can also mean that the dynamics of others can lift them. So I'm kind of hoping that that will be the case. But yeah, I thought it was ballsy. It didn't reference, apart from a reference to Capaldi, it didn't really reference anything from the past. It really did feel like it was pushing forward. And I think that was a good move as well. Looking at the overnights, it seems to have scored 8.2 million, which I think is a pretty good one for Sunday. I haven't been able to look really to research for context. The Bodyguard was getting less, but then the Bodyguard had its box set straight off. So it's hard to sort of tell what it would have got if it was on Sunday without the full series on box set on iPlayer. But 8.2 seems good. Certainly better than what it was getting last year on Saturday, but then it was on Saturday. So again, it's hard to sort of give a fair comparison. But I think they'll be pleased with an 8.2 overnight. I think it's done well. I think it's proven. I think she's proven that she can do the job. And I think they proved to me that they can do the job without making it all about gender. I mean, there's like two relevant references to gender in there, and that was it. And then they moved on. And I thought, good.
Oh, right. We haven't talked about the Doctor, have we?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
You weren't keen?
I mean, this is conflicting, because I like Jodie Whittaker. I think she's lovely, and I love her interactions with the fans. And, she's great watching on TV. I just did not get any authority from her at all.
Well, I think that's where I was saying, where I think some things didn't land. We've had this before, because one of my favourites is Old Sylvester. And yet there was times when Sylvester would have authority where you'd think, no, stop it, mate, stop it.
You know,
it just doesn't work. And there were times with Eccleston where Eccleston would do humour. And while later on I looked back and thought, yeah, he's actually trying to do it as if that's like a coping mechanism for this sort of post-traumatic stress that he's dealing with. To me at the time, I was watching it thinking, stop doing that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the sad thing with Jodie's is you don't actually have to overwrite a doctor. And that's probably the one carryover from previous series that they're still doing, that they're still writing the Tom Baker Doctor. And it's like, you don't need to do that. You can let her sit back. I mean, when she does serious, she's really good. And there are lines which she does humorously, which I still think work. And she does great expressions as well, which really are charming and warm you to the character. But there are times when she was doing the confrontations where I just didn't feel that was landing. And it just felt like they were writing the wrong material for her, or they were directing her in a way that just didn't look right to me. I did wonder, actually, where the part is that because the music was so far pushed back this year with a new composer, very deliberately not in your face, maybe we're just so used to having that now with the Doctor that somehow when you take that out, you're left with an actor having to do what they would do without that sort of support of the orchestra to really punctuate their point. And so it felt a little flatter than I expected. But I still really liked her. I thought, yeah, I think you're right. I think she's a very charming woman, and I think that still comes across. And there is times I'm watching this and I'm thinking, I just wish this was Jodie here rather than the Doctor, because that sort of slightly sort of dorkiness that she has as a person is really quite endearing as a character, as this is quite a charming thing she's got going there, which I'd like to have seen a little more of in here. You saw it occasionally. But again, it's first series, first episode, first series. You know, people change as they go through the roles. I think she's a good casting. I just think it's just finding that equilibrium, which I think the show and the character will do as it goes along. What anything else about it that you liked?
The whole thing with the, I like the visual effects of the tentacle creature and the tooth face guy, which wasn't. I mean, it didn't. I don't think it had to be. It's not going to be the most expensive piece of prosthetics ever.
Yeah, but it was very much. They were doing a bit like Rose, where the monsters were almost secondary to the whole drive of the story, but I mean they didn't blow me away, I must admit. I thought the taking of the tooth was quite fun. I thought the way he played the character was fun and quite enjoyable. As a point of enemy design, yeah, it was all right. The other thing I liked, what you pointed out, which I think is really good, was the fact it was Sheffield. I mean, we've said again this for a few years as well, but the show has a tendency to shoot up abroad, and you think, well, there's a lot of places in England, and this being a very sort of Anglo-centric show by its legacy, I'm surprised the BBC has not had it sort of a little more going to different locations around the country and sort of setting the show in different places locally. And I really like that. It was nice for it not to be Cardiff or London. And it was somewhere that probably wouldn't have been first place to think about. So that was good as well. I like that.
Yeah, the Peak District is stunning. So, you know, to have it on TV on something that isn't Countryfile is good.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I mean. It's surprising we've just not been doing that. Theme tune I'm a bit mixed on at the moment. I don't know whether it's the drums or whether it's whether it was my TV or whether it was the balance, the mix. It did feel not quite as cohesive as I'd like. It felt like there were two different elements running, and maybe it was the percussion to the actual synth. It didn't feel quite as clean as Murray Gold. But that being said, since I loathed so much that Capaldi theme tune, anything was better than that. That just went through me. So I'm pleased that there is something different there. And I think it's kind of interesting that they threw a nod to the past within the theme tune, allowed the show itself to go forward. It did feel very forward facing, and I did like that. A lot of people liked it. I had texts from my mum saying that she really enjoyed it. She wasn't sure about Jodie to start off with. She was a bit concerned, and she said she really enjoyed it, thought she was brilliant. I know my sister was a bit sort of, it was all right, which for her is actually fairly good. The girl I was watching with was a bit, it was all right, a bit slow, a bit like you really. So she said I'd watch it again, but she wasn't bowled over either. So I think it's probably on the spectrum. I think genuinely, I think it's been a positive thing. I think there's been degrees of how positive people have felt it was. But, yeah, I thought it handled itself well, especially given it was quite a big game changer. While the promotions and the media have made a big thing of that big change, and maybe you could argue, yes, there's a little bit of it in the title, on the whole, it sort of was very keen to sort of just move forward and not make that a big thing within the story. And I think that was quite respectful to the actor and, I guess, to the audience as well, really. And I was kind of dreading... I feel bad now, starting to bad mouth, but I was dreading that sort of Smith era, having her sort of feeling her torso every now and then to just remind herself that she's a woman, or sort of making comments about seeing herself in a woman, you know, those sort of things which seem to always play in man writing. Mm-hmm. And Chibnall didn't do any of that, and that was nice. It was just straightforward. I've changed. That's interesting. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Awkward pause.
Pardon?
I said awkward pause.
Awkward pause, yes. I was just gathering my thoughts.
That's fine.
There's, I largely agree with what you say there. It's, obviously it's the first episode as well, and it's, but got a lot of work to do to be better than, what's it called? The 11th Hour, which is, often comes up as, people's favourite first episode for Doctor.
I've never thought that. I really hated the 11th Hour.
It's up against Rose. It's up against Rose, isn't it? And Deep Breath and that other unforgettable one, The Christmas Invasion. And of those, I think I'd probably prefer The Christmas Invasion because it feels like it feels more like Doctor Who. But I know why people like the 11th Hour.
Absolutely.
It's just got a lot going for it.
I get it, but I still feel, for me personally, it was a disappointment. I mean, to be honest, when I watched that, I had similar things as I think I'm having here. There was times where I didn't think Matt Smith landed when he was doing his opening sequences in the kitchen. I thought there was times where it felt forced and he felt like he was over-hamming what he was doing. When I look back now and I rewatch it, maybe that was just first impressions because I don't see it badly now, but... Yeah, I was never overly impressed with it. I thought Amy's character in that was weird and doing very out-of-character things for a person in those situations.
Yeah, it was very inconsistent, yeah.
It was very inconsistent. I mean, there were some nice moments in it, and it had a good tone. It had the tone that I think Moffat wanted to carry with and perhaps didn't manage to keep as totally in his tenure, but it sort of had the tone changing. But, yeah, I thought this was pretty solid. I mean, Deep Breath again, I had issues with the Doctor landing in some of the comments didn't feel quite right at the very, very beginning when he comes out of the TARDIS, it felt enforced. But I quite like Deep Breath still.
It's, The Woman Who Fell to Earth is very, it feels very much like part of the BBC's current output in terms of the production values and visually and all that sort of thing. Now, whether or not that's a good thing for Doctor Who or not, I don't know. I don't know whether Doctor Who should just look and feel a little bit different to Happy Valley or that thing set in Leeds about the women who have all had children or whatever. We're only basing this on one episode.
Absolutely.
Next week. So how that goes on, we will see. I've got to be honest, I was nodding off after about 15 minutes. I didn't miss anything, but I felt my eyelids going, so I had to sit up. So I don't know if that's because I was laid down or whether I was just suffering from the pace. I don't know.
There's only two Doctor Whos that have gone beyond the 45 mark as an episode, which I ever thought really worked for, and that was Waters of Mars. And maybe at a push, I know people begrudge me for it. I still think Time of the Doctor as a whole story, probably, it never really dragged. It was a bit funny in places, but it sort of felt that the timing felt okay for it. But generally speaking, I think it didn't, having those extra 10 minutes or so, it never really works for Doctor Who. It always feels like it just drags anything out, and you could have sort of made that far punchier. In sort of 45, 50 at a push. I kind of think some of the stuff at the police station and with the police, just, I know it sets up character, but I don't know.
Phone call?
Phone call.
Could have done it all with a phone call or two.
Yes, absolutely. It just felt, there were just bits where that would probably just move things along. I think the biggest problem for me was that first 8 minutes, which I knew why they were doing it. I think maybe even, and I know that the YouTube bookends had purpose, and I saw their purpose, and again, maybe some of that purpose was quite smart, because it was defying expectations that, you know, talking about a woman, that it would be about the new woman in the show, when in fact, it was about the grandmother. At the same time, again, was it just too much? Was it really needed? Yes, it was a nice idea and would have worked in a book really well. But given the content of the show, and really you wanted to get the people to the Doctor as soon as you could, I'm just not convinced that it really set up the show well enough. I mean, I'd forgotten about it as well. So it's not like it was a book ending that really was lingering with me that I wanted to see resolved. Yeah. I forgot about who he was talking about, and I didn't really care. So, again, these little things have just sort of trimmed the episode and given it, I think, a bit more pace that it really needed, especially, like you say, for Bruce, just for the younger audience, if no one else. And it just felt like it was just a very odd tactic for a show that was trying to revitalize itself. Mm. And yet, it just seemed to slow it down, which was the last
thing. I do feel, if I hadn't been there, that he may have just turned the telly over and looked for something else.
Well, that's it. But then, I mean, in fairness, I suppose, if we talk about the children vote, you've got another 9 episodes and a Christmas special to win them over. But, for first episode, I was surprised it wasn't a little more... They didn't go for something a little more colourful and fresh. And, you know, like the advertising package has been, which has all been very colourful, very Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And this was actually setting in Sheffield, largely in the dark, with a long build-up of characters. Yeah, I can see what they kind of do, but like we said, you know, a lot of the concern with Doctor Who has been the fall off of its younger audience.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised it wasn't a little more wary about picking that up with something a little faster, funner, colourful, which next week probably will be. So maybe that's where that will slide in. But yeah, I think it's a good start in the sense that it's not totally following trends from before. It feels like it's trying to find its own feet. And after 8 years of the same producer, the show really needed that. So I think that's good. We've got a bit of that Ark in Space bit as well, haven't we? With the cliffhanger, no TARDIS in the middle of space. Yeah. That was a little bit of fun.
Yeah, that's promising. There are a couple other things that stood out for me in a not good way.
Okay.
The announcement that she's the Doctor after all the post-regenerative amnesia nonsense, which I feel is just, I don't want to ever see again.
I'm absolutely
fed up of it now, really, really fed up of it now. And the choosing the outfit bit was just too ceremonious. I think these things should be understated and underplayed, not, you know, curtains pulling across. Just grab an outfit and stick it on, Matt Smith or John Pertwee style. I think that's the way to do it. I don't, you know, don't dwell on it. It's too...
It's
too much to do.
I don't mind that. I mean, I kind of found that a little bit of fun personally. I suppose it's that is a very subjective thing. I found the issue of pockets fairly amusing, because I have so many female friends who I've learnt over the years, you know, how frustrating the lack of pockets for female outfits is, to see her having an issue with empty pockets and this big pocket thing, sort of played a little sort of maybe a subtext there, I don't know. I like that. I didn't mind it. I know what you mean. It was a little J&T, wasn't it? It was the... making a big thing of what becomes the trademark look. Maybe it's sort of playing and riffing off this sort of, you know, that superhero genre, which make a big thing about finally finding their staple look. Yes, it's a scene that you could, if you wanted to speed it up, you could have cut it down. I mean, I must admit, I found when we got to Bradley Walsh in the church for the funeral.
Mm.
It's a love scene. I think he played it really well. And I suppose they did need it, but in a sense, again, it was just one of those things where I just kind of felt, move along a bit. I need to move along a bit. I feel like we're sort of in extra time here. But I don't know. It's a shame to criticise scenes which are genuinely very good, and I understand why it needed to be there as well.
Yeah.
There's almost a part of me which just thinks, This story was almost too complicated. If you took out that relationship, would you have left Bradley Walsh with nothing? No, because I think cancer, recovering from cancer, there was enough there to sort of instill his character without having to have a fourth person, which just made things a little slower again. So maybe that, again, with retrospect, would be perhaps just a criticism of us looking for one. Was she needed in it? or grandma. I'm not sure she was particularly. I think the story could have been rewritten without her, without affecting any of those characters in a massive, massive way. But... Looking forward to seeing the police box, I must admit. So I was a little disappointed that wasn't there, but...
Yeah, I wonder when that'll happen.
Yes.
Because there was rumours early on that there would be a TARDIS-free season, wasn't there?
Yes.
Early on. So whether it's just the first few episodes or whether it really is the entire season.
Well, we've seen it in shots, so... But we've not seen it in... Well, we've seen it on location shoots.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of hoping, and I'm feeling it won't do this, but I'm kind of hoping we're going for a first season vibe where they find the box, but they, for whatever reason, they're not getting back home, because I think that would be a nice shift away.
Yep.
I'm worried they'll find the box, then they'll be back to Sheffield. It's like, don't do that. You know, let them travel. Let them travel as a sort of dysfunctional unit. I mean, it worked so well for Hartnell, and obviously Hartnell got rid of that very quickly, the series got rid of that, because it was primarily aimed for children, but now you could have a little more of that dysfunction that you had in early Hartnell and play with that and enjoy it, and let people slowly settle into that world. And I'm hoping they'll do that, especially Bradley Walsh's character, where you have that nice sort of reluctance to be part of this resistance. I think him and Jodie are going to be the ones who drive this forward.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just seem that way at this stage, at least. So let's hit Facebook, because our Facebook followers on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/podcasterbus, responded to a suggestion that they might share their thoughts. A mixed bag. Stuart Kershaw, a great start by the end. Jodie was totally the doctor for me. Andrew Wilberforce Moose Fairbrass. Really, I think I must have watched something else to what some people saw. The kids are awful actors, and I mean really bad, atrocious, stilted performances. The dialogue was mostly terrible, as was the cinematography. The Predator ripoff storyline was well below average, as was Jodie Whittaker in a terribly written opening role. She may improve, hopefully. Bradley Walsh was excellent, as was the theme music, and a cliffhanger is a lovely thing to bring back. That apart, it was seriously bang average 5 out of 10, which is not great for an opening season debut. Disappointed, but not surprised. Simon Mills, 9 out of 10. None of this pompous I am the Doctor and this planet is protected, overblown hyperbole. Definitely a return to the classic vibe, I think. I help out where I can, summed it up for me. Music was nice and understated. Matthew Baggins Carpenter, relieved, I'm not making these names up, relieved to say it was pretty good. JP, I think that probably means JW, fits the role like a glove. Humour needs some work, although that's the fault of the writing. Music was excellent. John McKendrick, music was great. Regeneration episodes are a bit meh for me. I like that it's dark outside when it's on, though. Rob Preston says it was dull. Colin Lodge Bruce, I reiterate, I'm not making these names up. I thought the storyline was very poor. Predator ripoff with Creature from the Matrix thrown in. At the start, it jumped around too much for my liking. The roll call at the end just bored me to death. I hope the stories improve. Nigel Webb, one of our regular commenters, it was way too slow and quite a boring plot, unfortunately, but of course needed another watch to confirm. Jodie did well, almost a dot for me, but not quite yet. She took an episode or two to grow on me. I didn't like the new look on screen. It just doesn't look Doctor Who to me. It looks like any other BBC drama out there, and I don't want to see that when I watch Doctor Who. That's an interesting angle on what I said earlier. Katie Paul, another regular, loved it. JW trod the fine line between interesting and annoying. I guess they played it safe and simple with a storyline most of us already knew because there was so much else to do. She didn't let her 8-year-old watch. Not sure she would have appreciated the Tooth Monster and Electro Spaghetti. I think they've got the scheduling wrong. Strictly results should be on first. Shame they killed off the most promising companion. The music was brilliant. So there's a lot more comments for you to check out there. That inspire any thoughts in you, James?
Not massively. I think Well, I suppose in the end, it's each to their own. I think truth's in there. Story. I think the fact that it borrows from other sort of stories is what Doctor Who does. Like, so I've got no issues with that. I mean, it did feel like a different show, but I think it needed to feel like a different show. I mean, I was getting to the point where I was coming to Doctor Who, and it was like, you know, a football team. You know, you support the football team, but you don't. You know, you might not be liking the matches. If you
still it's a love-hate relationship.
And you go anyway. Yes, it was like it was going to be very much a love-hate relationship. And I just kind of felt that this has got me having to think about things again. Saying that, I mean, I watched a couple of Capaldi ones, the ones under the sea episodes, and I quite enjoyed them. And I think with Doctor Who is always the case is that after your first viewing and you go back, you tend to see a different show in a weird way. So maybe you know, one will always be far harsher on that first viewing, and you go back and you see the nuances. When I watched bits of it later on, I was watching and I was finding I was enjoying it more than those bits maybe I was enjoying at the time, and I was noticing little nuances which I was enjoying in the way that she was playing the role as well. So that was, I mean, I enjoyed the sonic screwdriver making scene. That was fun. She sort of worked that well. Yeah, I think on the whole, I think it's, to be honest, I think that's quite a fair mix of people who are open to watching a new show. There's no one who's sort of said, well, you know, it's because she's a woman. There's none of that sort of stuff in any of those comments. It's just people just feeling whether they enjoyed it or not, which I think is fine, isn't it?
Mm.
That's what we want. Not everyone's not going to appeal to everyone, and it's certainly not. I'm just happy because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it enough. As I say, there were issues with it, but I enjoyed it. And I think the worst thing is, the thing we've said before, is when you watch a story and you absolutely hate it and everyone else likes it. And you feel like, I want to be them. I don't care. It's not the fact I want my hatred to be validated. I actually want to be them. I want to just enjoy my last hour. And I kind of enjoyed that. So I feel relieved. I'm not one of those people who just says, you know, I think not, or it was terrible, because that's not really what you want. You want it was dull. You want you would have got something out of it.
Okay. Would you? He asked him with some reluctance. Be prepared to offer a rating out of 10 for the episode.
Yeah, I'd be prepared to offer a rating out of 10. I might want to go into decimals.
Okay.
I might give it something like possibly a 7.7.
Oh, Christ, really?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Okay. I don't think it was perfect, but and I thought it was too slow. And like I said, I think there was issues with who it was aiming at. But overall, I think it was a fairly decent, interestingly more than other season openers, largely speaking. I didn't cringe. I mean, even like Love, even Pilot, which was a really good season opener, there were moments where Moffat was writing, was trying to write in his queer culture, and it just, to me, was a little cringeworthy. Nothing here made me massively, oh no, that's not true. I did cringe a little with some of her authority lines, I must admit. So maybe I'm sticking with that 7.7.
Okay.
What are you going to give it?
A three. Yeah.
Well, that kind of surprised me, because even though you obviously have given issues with it, a lot of what you said was.
Yeah, but I think it's like showing that fine line between. Well, I mean, there's a couple of things going on here. Obviously, contextually, this is completely new. So, you know, later in the series, I might be able to modify that one way. Up or down.
Fair enough.
Once, you know, get a gist of the feel of what's going on and the wider thing. I just felt that, I don't know, maybe I've been distracted by some of the circus surrounding it, but it just didn't meet the expectations that I've been, and then I'm not talking about spoilers or anything like that, it's just like, you know, someone coming on saying, this is what's happening, this is good, showing me clips and stuff. They're obviously out of context when you see them. It just, and the fact that I nearly nodded off, and the bad accent and the theme tune and the bad lines and the Johnny Knows bits with the retreads of the here's my new outfit, etc., and the pissing roll call at the end. As a package, you know, can you see any 10-year-olds giving a damn about Julie Hesmondal and Art Malik? No, who gives? Most adults don't care. Self-indulgence is the word that springs to mind right now. So, you know, 3 out of 10. And I have modified my 3 out of 10 because last night it was a 2 out of 10. So, and, you know, is there a 10 out of 10 Doctor Who? Don't know. There might be a 9.5 Doctor Who. And, my rating system is firmly entrenched in the video games magazine system of rating from the 80s and 90s, where virtually nothing is a 10 out of 10. Or 100% or whatever. But yeah, three out of 10 for me. I'm
just surprised.
Simon Irani would probably be 2. So
I'm surprised that you, if you're going by that route, that you didn't have to marginally root it up a little bit on the basis that you would have. Normally, it'd be something like graphics, addictiveness, playability, value for money. I thought, because I mean, you quite liked the cinematography in it. I wondered whether if that was like a 7, and that might have to force you overall up or something. But but fair enough. I mean, I think it's all you can do is give your honest opinion, and it sounds to me that accent really did piss you off quite a lot. And if I'd been in your shoes, if that was constantly taking me out of the story, maybe I'd have been sort of looking at a similar mark. I don't know. The roll call at the end, I absolutely hated it, but I'm not going to kill the show for that. I mean, for all we know, that's a marketing, executive decision that they were forced upon. It was annoying though, and it felt utterly redundant. Mm. Especially since none of the names were the sort of names you'd think you would need to justify that.
No, maybe 2.
I think Pip did. Do you see that video he did on Twitter where he does, I think it's season 24, Delta and the Bannermen? And he does the same sort of thing there. It's sort of like,
right.
As a satire of it, and that's quite funny in its own way, because it sort of plays on this idea that a lot of these people are people you don't know, and if you do know them, they're for really bit roles that you don't care about. That was really, really weird. I do hope they never do that again.
Yeah, so do I.
Ever.
I don't know what to say next. We've chatted on for the best part of 40 minutes. Best part of 45 minutes, I suppose. And there are obviously other things to be talking about in the world beyond the podcast with a K. We'll definitely be back next week to discuss the second episode of the series, which I think I'm right in saying this is the Ghost Monument. This is one with Sean Doolian, I think, who
right,
again, not a famous name, but he is at least a regular face in British drama. So again, written by Chris Chibnall and directed by Mark Tondorai. Who's not just a director, but also a writer, actor, former disc jockey, and an entrepreneur. So he's a busy
guy. Go him.
Go him indeed. Let us know what you thought. I know you already have, but after you've listened to our thoughts, if anything you want to raise with us on Facebook or on the Twits, by all means, do so. Until next time, maybe find the time to watch the episode again. Until next time, goodbye from us.
This is a Beyond Castor Brews podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCastorBrews.com.